The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Monday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin right here with me.
Hey, man.
Thank you for giving us, you know, about an hour and 50 minutes of really good sports talk and 10 minutes of nonsense. We appreciate you being here with us.
That's right. Absolutely. It's good to have you back in the chair you belong, Matt, filling in with Gil's out.
Oh, man. It is. It's good times being up here. Listen, the 445 wake up doesn't bother me too much. It really doesn't.
Yeah,
I'm a morning guy.
Up like an hour later anyways. Yeah. We get a lot of weird people that work here at VSiN, actually, that wake up extremely early when they don't have to.
Yeah, it's I kind of have to get the day going. I really don't mind it at all. Paul Spohr going to join us to talk some baseball a little bit later. Catching up with Paulie. Hadn't talked to him in a while. See what's going on with him. And Ben Wilson from whatever island that he's at. You know, I mean, the villas that are across the world that is Ben Wilson in his life.
Is he actually on an island this week?
We're going to find out.
It's a video call.
One of the family's compounds, at least, for sure. He's somewhere across this great nation of ours at one of the compounds. And so it is going to be amazing to talk to Ben Wilson. We'll get some tennis thoughts from him. We'll get some college baseball thoughts from him as well. And maybe everything in between. You know, I'm sure he's got some golf thoughts.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Golf, baseball with Ben.
And curling.
NBA Finals, curling. Yeah, come on. Yeah,
curling. If there was curling going on, we would get his curling thoughts. Ben did grow up curling. We're not making that up. That happened.
That did happen. Did you know that there's a curling section on Ken Palm's website?
This was recently brought to my attention.
Yes,
recently brought to my attention, which I guess like this is something, there must be an edge.
Must be an edge. I believe Drew Dinsick's the one who brought it up on this show, and Gil and I were both like, wait, what are you talking about? And sure enough, there is a little curling logo over there on the Ken Palm site. You can get curling Ken Palm ratings. Go at it.
I know Gil's not in today, but if you want to tweet at us and let us know what you're thinking about everything going on in the sports world, we are always here. So at Matt Brown M2 and of course at Kelly Bidlin, that's an E. The Kelly with an E. Do you say Kelly with an E or do you just go with Kelly Bidlin these days?
I go Kelly with an EY is usually what I'll say. Because people ask me, do you go with an E or do you go with two E's? Because it's not really with an E, it's with two E's, right?
Yeah.
But now I go EY. It's always the end that's the weird.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Kelly and I are two of the three golf guys here on the network, that I want to start things with what Scottie Scheffler did at the Memorial this week and winning by four strokes and taking home another cool $4 million for taking that tournament down. He was first in tee to green. He was first in approach. He was first on scrambling. He has won 9 straight tournaments when he has had a 54-hole outright lead. He has won 3 of his last 4 starts. He has 9 top 10s in 12 starts this season. He has no finish outside the top 25 in any tournament that he has played, and he is no worse than T8 since the beginning of March. We are watching absolute greatness right now. What is happening out there on the golf course? Last year, 16 top 10s in 19 events. He won 7 times. If you go the season before that, that's when we still had the wraparound season. So it's 2022/2023. 17 top 10s in 23 starts. He has not missed a cut since August of 2022. That is the unbelievable streak that we were watching with Scottie Scheffler every single time that he tees it up out there against the deepest pool of competition that we've ever seen in professional golf. And you can't help but compare him and Tiger Woods. And I'm not going to sit here and get into this massive debate about him and Tiger Woods. It's two different eras. Everything has changed. Everybody is longer. The balls are different. The clubs are different. They had to change golf courses for Tiger Woods. But now these courses are longer. These courses are built to try and attack some of these bombers, strategically placed bunkers, putting some trees in the way, doing whatever they can, pinching the landing zones for these guys. And Scottie Scheffler continues to go out each and every week and prove that he is the best golfer in the world. No questions asked. Don't bring Rory up. Don't bring Bryson up. And really and truly don't bring up anybody else outside of those two names when we're talking about the best golfer in the world. I'm getting to know Scottie Scheffler's kid better than I'm getting to know the rest of these golfers on the I've seen his kid three weeks in a row, like 3 starts in a row. We're gonna know when he loses his first tooth. We're gonna know when he gets the full head of hair.
Yeah.
When he starts talking, we're gonna know, because the kid gets more TV time than anybody outside of the final 3 groups in these golf tournaments, because he holds the kid right there at the end, I'm like, oh, there's Scotty's kid again. Look at that. He looks like he's grown a couple of inches since 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is what we're getting out of Scotty Scheffler right now. And again, Kelly, you can't help but compare him to Tiger because it's the only time we've seen a run like this. The only thing I will say, the talent pool is deeper now than it was when Tiger was doing his thing. Tiger still went and did it. You still have to go win. You still have to play consistent every single week. You still have to go get it done. And he did it. And it is, I grew up through both of the eras. It was ridiculously impressive. But what Scotty's doing right now against not just three or four or five guys that might could tee it up and win, which is what Tiger was going up against, where we have literally 20, 25, maybe 30 guys on any given week that could tee it up and win out there on a tough course and tough conditions. We have to at least bring it into the conversation that it's not crazy to compare him to Tiger, because everyone wants to just dismiss it, right? It's like, you can't compare him to Tiger. There's no way. And they just blow it off, right? Well, that is not what we're getting here with Scotty Scheffler. This is actually something truly remarkable.
It really is. I think it's interesting because you're hearing a lot of that conversation today about comparing it to Tiger and, okay, what the fields that they played in. The one I'll say, Matt, is right now, there is weaker competition than what we've had, I think, in a while of where that mid-range and that second-tier, third-tier golfers are at. I think there's a lot of question marks on the board right now with, we've seen glimpses from Ludvig Åberg this year. We've seen glimpses from Justin Thomas, but the consistency's not really been there, and it's really been Rory and Scotty all season long with Bryson DeChambeau kind of the other guy there. And I know we're going to talk some U.S. Open here in a bit on the show, but I just don't know how you look beyond those three when you are attacking another major. We've seen it play out the Masters and the PGA. Those guys are just so far above everybody else right now. And then I think we've gotten to the point in the season, like you're talking about, where Scheffler is another step above where those two are at. So, man, it's his tour right now. I don't know about you. I regret not jumping in on him in game on Saturday about middle of the round. You were still seeing around pre-tournament odds on him, and he was at that point about T3, T4, three, four shots back. But I think you have to be okay. You're always going to get taxed on the Scotty Scheffler in-game bets, right, to try to get in on him in-game. We've talked about it for years. You and I have said it for years of, hey, maybe let the tournament start, see if he drifts back. You're just not getting the odds that we used to see on that a couple years ago.
I got greedy because I had so many chasers, and I played the without market this week. We talked about this on Long Shots, and so I'm going, okay, Scotty can win. I don't care. I just need one of these other dudes chasing to finish in second. Well, none of them did. And so, you know, here we are.
I just think it's like on Saturday, I'm sitting there looking at it. He's about plus 240. And it's okay. There's three guys ahead of him, and he's four shots off. Fine. That's still a better position of where Scotty Scheffler's at for that number. I'd rather bet into that number than bet his pre-tournament number at closer to 3-1. So I think it's stuff like that you got to start thinking about when you're betting golf these days. I don't know about you. My betting card went really, really, really bad. A lot of placement markets, about one or two shots off. Luckily, though, Scotty Scheffler did have him one and done this week, though. So that's
there you go. There you go. You can at least cash that $4 million in your account for that. We have ourselves an NBA Finals. It is the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Indiana Pacers. The series price, minus 700 on the Thunder, 5-1 if you want to take the Pacers. In this one, Kelly, I think the pricing is correct. Yes, you are getting an offense in Oklahoma City that can match and run and do the different things that the Pacers can. I think Pacers under the radar had one of the better offenses that people didn't pay attention to throughout the course of the season. Unless you were a hardcore NBA fan, you just don't think about the Pacers in that fashion. But it's a whole different animal than what you got with the Knicks now, because you were getting a team that not only is elite on the offensive side of the ball, but is also elite on the defensive side of the ball, which is not what you got in this series with the Knicks. You attacked Brunson. You attacked Cat. It worked over and over and over again. You start getting the reports coming out that the teammates were actually kind of grumbling about Karl Anthony Towns and his defense or lack thereof throughout the course of not only the playoffs, but the season as well. Apparently in practice, it was kind of like he didn't really care all that much about, you know, doing the switches right and all the things that really matter.
Shocking.
You know, yeah. And of course it gets exposed in the playoffs, and you watch this team go in and just attack these two guys, Brunson from a size standpoint, Karl Anthony Towns from maybe an effort standpoint on the defensive side, and the Pacers move on. That said, find themselves as massive underdogs here to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it's kind of hard for me to poke a hole in that number.
Yeah, totally. I mean, look, I think this is, all credit to the Pacers. They have been incredible to watch in this playoffs, and I think they do have a little bit of that just winner kind of amazing mojo heading into the finals. Like, they are kind of that team of destiny this year. I get it. Having said all that, if we're just looking at series price, and I made a couple bets, we'll work our way through these here the next couple segments, but I mean, that -650, and I know it's -700 if you're watching at home right now, is what you're seeing on your screen over at DraftKings. There are a lot of places where this is sub -700. I know we don't have a lot of people with the bankroll to run out and bet that. Man, it's cheap, though. It's cheap. SGA, then, compared for finals MVP, is cheap. You're seeing about this series priced like the Pacers of the Denver Nuggets. I had Denver, that was basically the same odds that we were getting on that series. I had Denver rated a little bit tougher than this Pacers team. The biggest problem with this game or this matchup is just the matchups on the court. Everything that the Pacers have succeeded at doing throughout this playoff run, the Thunder can match them or even do better. If you want to go back to pace statistics throughout the regular season, the Pacers were up there top three. Guess what? So were the Thunder. They went even faster than the Indiana Pacers. So they're going to be okay playing them that way. I think it's a terrible draw for the Pacers. We'll talk through some of this here the rest of the show, but there's a couple different ways you can get in on the Thunder
stuff. Yeah, we'll look at game one here next segment. That's sitting about 9 right now in favor of the Thunder at home, 230.5 the total. If you think the Pacers win the thing outright, you can get it at +320. A bunch of other news and notes we've got to hit on, including a big promotion over in Major League Baseball. Could that make a difference there in the AL Central? Just getting going here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Monday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. To my left, friend and colleague Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me. That is Kelly with the EY, as you all know, out there. Here Monday to Thursday, so hang out with us for a couple hours. See what's going on. You know, listen, we're going to talk all kinds of craziness, and we'll get to golf. We will get to, you know, baseball. We'll get to all of it. You know, we continue this NBA finals discussion here, Kelly, because, you know, I've texted with you throughout the course of the playoffs, in which I have said, you know, outside of a couple of spurts here and there, these finals have really been, and I'll just, I'll censor myself.
Conference finals. Yeah.
Yeah. Have been not great. I'll just censor myself with that. And, you know, you can't help how it all plays out, how the matchups work. Some teams, obviously, we know, you know, some teams match up better with other teams. Some teams are going to go on ridiculous heaters like the Pacers have, in which they shoot 50%, you know, from the floor, from three, and all of this. And, you know, sports are weird in general. But it does get us to a final here, though, in which, like we said, -700 in the series price here. And so let's try and talk through different ways that maybe we can go about betting this. I mean, if you don't want to bet the -700, if that isn't for your bankroll, there's always just total games. There's series correct scores out there. I mean, if you think Oklahoma City sweeps this thing +260, the gentleman sweep is +250. If you think the Pacers can get scrappy here, Kelly, and get it out to 6 games or 7 games, +450, +500. Now, if that's your honest belief, you could just bet both of those and you're going to make money, you know, you're going to make money. I mean, if that's your honest belief, you believe that the Pacers can get 2 games in this series and drag it out to 6 or 7, +450, +500, go and bet both of them, move on with your life. But how are we going to try to attack this? Because again, for most people out there, I know there's some high rollers that listen to the program, but for most people, paying $700 to win $100 is just not really within their bankroll.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start. Look, I get the luxury of rolling into this with some finals tickets already in pocket for Thunder. But look, there's a couple ways I think you can bet this, and you hit on them. I already added one other series bet. Thunder 4-1 series correct score. That's where I started. I do think it goes 5. That's where we're most likely ending at. Yes,
that's +250 at DraftKings anyway.
Which if you have DraftKings available to you, Matt, that is a great price, because the best I was able to get was +215.
Okay.
So +250, I think that's a great price on it. I think you could combine that with, you know, compare the lay 2.5 games, right? Or you could bet, kind of like you hinted at with going longer, you could do that with going shorter too, right? You could bet both Thunder to win in a sweep, or Thunder to win in 5, or Thunder to win in 5, Thunder to win in 6. I think I like Thunder in 5. That's all I'm going to play, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Gun to my head, I think this likely goes 6 rather than a sweep.
Yeah.
I do think the Pacers have that ability. So I think that's ways you could attack it. I'm going to play the Thunder in 5. I think, though, if I had nothing on this series, I'd probably split up a little bit of Thunder in 5, Thunder in 6, or pay the price to lay a game and a half and not the full two games and a half. I think another one that caught my eye, that I rarely play these unless I'm kind of doing a weird outcome, but another one that caught my eye is there is shops where you can get this under minus 300. I saw a minus 290 on the Thunder to win game one and to win the series. Thunder have been incredible at home. I think that's a way to get involved in this series at a cheaper price.
Yeah, so I saw a minus 275 on that.
I think it's a
great
bet.
So that could take you down from that minus 700 to at least minus 275. And I think your handicap, if you're playing them confidently at minus 700, is that they're going to get it done in game one at home, as it is anyway, right?
Yes.
And so that then just takes it down, you know, well under half of what you'd have to pay just for the series price as it sits right now. Again, as we kind of talk this through, there's just the generic game totals, and that's, you know, does cover you at least a little bit should the Pacers go out there and shock the world. That being said, Kelly, you look at the Pacers side of things, they're not going to sweep. So 45-1, but I mean, I think we're all pretty much on it. 4-1, 30-1, 4-2, 14-1, and then 4-3, 15-1. I'm not playing 6 games or 7 games generically there. I would play 30, 14, and 15. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you just do that, right? You just play 4-1, 4-2, 4-3 all on Indiana at those prices.
Yeah.
As opposed to, because a generic 7 games, I don't think that you're sitting here thinking that's going to be the case. So I that's how I would play it if I'm leaning towards the Pacers, right? I'll just play the Pacers in these, you know, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3 scenarios in which we're getting these ridiculously high numbers.
I like that. I mean, what Matt's doing there is you're getting a much better series price on the Pacers. Yeah. You're just assuming they don't sweep the thing, right? You're just taking the sweep out and baking in a little extra money into that. Yeah, I think that's a good way to look. I don't know about you, but I do think these first, where the Pacers, look, they have shown up in these game ones and surprised. I don't expect that to happen on Thursday night. I think that we are looking at a Thunder team that is overmatched for them. I think that the only advantage that Indiana really has in this series is the coaching advantage. I think Carlisle will be able to make some of the in-game adjustments, some of the in-between games in the series adjustments better than Dagnall. I just don't know how many adjustments Dagnall's really going to need to make throughout the course of this series. Indiana's got that advantage. I don't think the Thunder are getting surprised or anything like that when we look at the first couple games at home. So I do think those are ways of playing that win at home, win the first game, then win the series. I think it's a good look. Just a reminder of what the Thunder have done at home this season. 35-6 in the regular season. They're 8-1 in the playoffs, and the net rating at home in the 9 playoff games is at 24.7. That is ridiculous. They're not even they're shooting 36% from home from 3 in the playoffs, Matt. Like that could be a little bit better. It's not even great. Like, it's better than what they've done on the road. It could actually be better against this Indiana team. So I think they're a freight train to try to go against at home where you can. I think where we've seen the Thunder struggle in the playoffs, and the question is how real is it, is on the road. 4-3 on the road in the 7 games. They've had a -6.2 net rating, shot under 30% from 3 on the road this season. I think if there was any spot that I was going to try to attack OKC, it would be when this series shifts back to Indiana.
On a game-by-game basis, game one is sitting 9 right now at the majority of books out there, 9.5 at MGM, 9.5 at Fanatics as well, and ESPN Bet. So if you want to get the extra half point with Indiana, those three books are giving it to you. If you want the flat 9, DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, Circa out here behind us, if you have access to them, they're all sitting at the flat 9. Looking at about 230.5 is the prevailing total here in this one. Kelly, the one thought I think that you could look at here from Oklahoma City is if you're bullish on Oklahoma City and you're willing to lay 9, probably willing to lay 11, right? You're probably willing to lay 11.5. You're probably willing, like, so it's, if you think that this is going to be a clinic from Oklahoma City at home here, sure, put half your bet, 70% of your bet there on the 9, but I'm probably playing some alts as well, because you're, if when you're talking about winning by double digits, you're predicting a butt kicking.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, OKC at home, I'm never going to blame anybody in this series for making bets like that. Honestly, it's something that I've probably gotten a little bit lazy with as an NBA bettor. Of just, I think you should probably be doing that in most NBA games.
Leaning into
bet.
Your convictions a little bit
exactly.
more. Exactly. Right, right.
Yeah. How often is this? Is your number, or is the spread going to be off your number by exactly 1 point? Right. Mm. It's worth laddering up a little bit. Regardless, I'm with you on that. I do think there's a better chance, if we see an OKC blowout, that it comes in game two than game one. Look, we are still dealing with two younger teams. I think this also lends to the under a little bit in game one, too. How effective does everybody come out is a little bit of a, like the old boxing expression, right? Getting a feel for your opponent sort of thing in game one. I could see that a little bit more, Matt. Maybe it's a second half where the Thunder run away with it in game one. I think I could see that more in game two. I really like the bet. Like, if I didn't have nothing in pocket right now, and I have my NBA Finals tickets on the Thunder, I would be doing that game one in the series. Yeah. I think under -300, I think that's a great bet to attack the series.
Over on the MVP side of things, it's hard to make a case for anybody other than Shea on the Thunder side. If you do believe in the Pacers, we already saw Pascal Siakam took the conference finals MVP, so it's not just going to automatically be Halliburton. We're looking at -600 on Shea, +750 for Halliburton, 16-1 on Siakam. Is there a case to be made for anybody else at all?
No.
Right?
I mean, no, but not really, right? I mean, and this is a keep in mind, like, I know it's still not an attractive number, but we talk about this a lot with a Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, right? This number on Shea, almost anything better than what you're getting series price, I'd almost say pull the trigger, Matt.
Because there's just very, very few Sims out there that are ever going to land on Chet Holmgren or Williams or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, most likely other outcome to me is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets hurt during the series, and Jalen Williams is probably winning this at 35-1.
Yeah. And if that's the case, you know what? You could put 90% of it on Shai and then put 10% of it on Williams as a cover your rear end.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah. I guess it could be Chet too, but I think J-Dub's a little more likely.
Yeah, guys, we are running a special right now where you are going to get 14 months of everything we do over on VSiN Pro for just $199. And if you go in and use the promo code BOOK right now, B-O-O-K, we are going to give you a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. So again, go in, VSiN.com/subscribe, $199 for 14 months.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown on the desk for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here with me as we roll through what's going on over in the golf world. A quick bow on the memorial. I gave my what was determined to be a rant by Jesse Wood. I thought it was just a take on Scottie Scheffler a little bit earlier, but
here's the short version. Scottie Scheffler's good at golf.
Yeah, there you go. I'd spent a whole, 3 minutes talking about it, basically saying just that. But he does win the memorial back-to-back now, $4 million for his efforts. So good for Scottie Scheffler. He's actually good for the caddy.
Yeah. Another guy who I don't think we really need to worry about their bank accounts much.
Man, let me tell you. I don't know. Certainly he's worked out some sort of other deal, or maybe not. Scottie Scheffler seems like such an incredible guy that he still just pays 10% every single time. So he's just hucking out $400,000 like with every win.
You're going down the road of like how you tip out properly when you win big contests or jackpots in this town. Like the percentage needs to come down.
Well, no, I'm just wondering if the caddy goes to Scotty and says, "Hey, man, look,
I'll take less. Just don't kick me off the
bag." Yeah, like I'm good for 8% or whatever. I'm good for 5%. You win so much money, I'm good for it.
I'm gonna guess that conversation hasn't come up at all.
That's what I'm saying. With Scottie Scheffler, probably not. He just, his guy, you know what he says? He probably not only, he hands it to him with a smile every time. You know, just
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Here's your $400,000.
Have you ever heard anybody doing that? Making the caddy take less?
Well, I've heard of fill-in caddies agreeing to.
Right.
So like
and we had, what, the whole Kuchar incident right down in Mexico?
Yeah, like I've heard fill-in caddies taking less.
And, me too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just something to think about whenever you're like, okay, this guy's winning $20 million a year. You know, like,
God, I would love to be the fly on the wall in that conversation.
You know what
though.
I'm saying? Like, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah. No, I get it.
Like, the caddy's making $2 million right off the top.
You're what a team, Matt. You got to pay him the $2 million.
Plus whatever side stuff he's got going on. Because if you're Scotty Scheffler's caddy, you're making money elsewhere. For sure. You got money coming in. He's probably sponsored by Rolex or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm paying NetJets and yeah, all that sort of stuff. The Ted Scott, I was blanking
yeah,
on
Ted it. Scott, yeah.
Yeah. It's a... Imagine being in the room for that conversation, though, where you're like, look, I'm winning a lot. You're taking home a lot. Like, we might need to dial this back. Oh, that would get ugly quick. You got to be prepared to lose Ted on the bag forever. I don't think Scotty Scheffler wants to have that happen.
We'll get into the golf here as we move up to Canada real quick for everybody out there. This is just a PSA. The Masters Lottery is now open. If you want to go in, if you love rejection, go in and sign up, fill out all of that just to get an email in about 3 weeks that says your selection was not picked. But it is out there for anyone that wants to go.
So how many times has that happened to you?
27 straight years now, I
guess. You've done it that many years?
20. Yeah, I mean,
I did not know that.
I did it since like early college.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Like, yeah. So I don't know, whatever, 20, maybe whatever, 24 years.
You were there, like what, last year?
Yes, I went last year, but it was not because I won the lottery.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was not because I won the lottery. I just had to buy third-party tickets, so, yeah.
Well, good luck.
Which, by the way, they frown upon. That is, that's the other thing. They frown upon that.
Like, so, like, maybe you shouldn't say it on a national radio
you
show?
You go in and you get briefed by the people that are giving you these tickets as to where you got them, who you got them from. You learn, like, the family's backstory.
Yep.
And all of that and everything, because like it can only be gifted. It cannot be sold. Right. And so you can't buy these things technically.
Family's backstory.
Oh yeah.
That is,
you got it from this person.
Creepy,
yeah. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. They've had it in the family for whatever. They do this, that, whatever. And you got it because you're the cousin's brother-in-law or whatever. You're the cousin's husband or something.
Man.
Yeah.
Wonder if the Wilson family works.
It's a covering your rear end thing, yeah. You know, as well with all of that. Okay, guys, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, your first look into the day's betting line, sharp action, and market moves. Just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee is gone. Hosted by VSiN team of trusted betting experts, Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or get it on the VSiN Watch app as well. By the way, that VSiN Watch app, free to download at any of the stores out there that you listen. Let's peel the curtain back again. I'm shaming you if you still have an Android phone. Just go and get an iPhone. Everybody doesn't like you. Everyone hates you. They talk about you behind your back whenever your green message shows up in the thing.
If you're like me, they don't talk to you about it behind your back. They say to your face. It's annoying as hell. Get an iPhone. Can't have these group messages.
Did you ever go Android ever? Or
no.
you've just been iPhone since day one?
Since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've ventured.
Since what? I want to say like 06, 07, something like that.
I've ventured over one time for like 3 months because it was the, we'll give you this awesome new phone absolutely free if you do, you know, whatever and all that. And I was like, okay, how much different can the answer's a lot different. That's how different it can be. I felt like I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know how to answer the calls. I didn't know how to do anything. So it was just not fun.
I went from Razor to iPhone. So whatever year that was.
Ooh.
Those Razors were badass though back in the day, man. Are you kidding me?
You were the cool kid.
I was styling. Yeah, yeah.
You were the cool kid.
Razor.
Yeah, you were the cool kid.
Woo-hoo.
You were the cool kid. And people that had Razors were cool. I didn't have a Razor.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I'd have had a Razor. All right, so we're going to head to Canada for this. TPC Toronto, RBC Canadian Open. It's about 7,400 yards, par 70 in this one here. Kelly, the field is very likely to... I'm sure we're going to get some withdrawals today as well. We kind of tend to see this with all of this. As we sit right now, Rory McIlroy is going to play. Ludwig is going to play. But then the drop-off is pretty big from there. Down to Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Sam Burns, Bob McIntyre. And then once you get past Bob McIntyre at 30-1, Kelly, the next guy, Harry Hall. So that's like where we get it. It is like a couple of big names, a couple of mid names, and then it falls off a cliff pretty quickly.
Yes, it does. I'm just scanning through this right now. Yeah, I guess the names that you'd most want to watch out for. I mean, Ludwig Ludwig, I'd imagine Connors is going to play, but like Ludwig, Shane Lowry may be the most likely to withdraw if you were going to have that. Rory's going to play. We know that. He skipped last week.
Mm-hmm. Rory's going to give it a go.
Yeah, he's played here the past couple years now, so that should be expected. Man, I don't know where you're at. I think odds at the top, I'm not really surprised by that plus 450. I think a few weeks ago I would have said this is going to be Rory a little shorter. Mm-hmm. In this event with the rest of the names that are in here, but I think plus 450, man, I think there's some concerns and some things Rory's sure. got to work on before we head into the US Open.
Rory is not Scotty. Scotty goes out and Scotty is just automatic, right? Like his swing is the same every single time. Everything works the same every single time. Everything is just programmed. It's not the same way with Rory. I mean, like we saw a couple of years ago, we didn't bet him because the wedges weren't working. Then we got to a point where he was spraying off the tee a little bit too much for our liking. There's always seems to be at least something at work a little bit with Rory where you don't get that from a Scotty standpoint. That being said, I mean, plus 110 on top five, it includes ties as well. So yeah. I mean, it's like it includes ties. That's at least somewhat tempting. I mean, unless he just completely falls off here in a course that is gettable. I mean, it's a driver heavy course, you know, and like that's where he exceeds.
I think I will be right back to I like that. The other one that's jumping out to me right now. I played it last week. It finally lost, but it cashed like in six of the last seven tournaments beforehand. Corey Connors, top 20, mm-hmm. minus 110, staring me in the face.
Yeah.
Canadian guy, too. He's going to want to show up for his home open, play well. I know you and I have been betting him pretty regularly here recently. I don't know if I'm there for the outright win yet with Corey Connors, but man, I think top 20. I'll keep it playing him in that market at minus 110. It's actually probably one of those, Matt, that I'll probably bet earlier in the week because I think that's only going to get bet on and move to a shorter number. So that might actually be one that I plug in right after the show here.
I think for me in this one, in a tournament in which, again, it's a driver heavy course, which really is what separates Rory from the rest of the field, I think I'm going to be looking at maybe firing on some of these longer shot guys and then just kind of walking away from this tournament and just hoping that Rory finishes third or something as opposed to winning it, because it's just, you know, he should win. I mean, like you look at some of these dudes who Max Homa, we have seen at least shades of the old Max Homa. Now he struggled mightily a couple different rounds, played a good round as well this past week. He's out like at 60-1.
He's getting there number wise.
It's like
that one jumped out to me.
So I'm saying, like, do you try to like catch him on the way up before things get crazy with him? I mean, we've kind of seen a little bit of Wyndham Clark as well, where it's like he'll throw one good round in with two bad rounds. Can he figure it out? Has he got something going on? I mean, maybe I'm just throwing it on some of these like 50-60-1 dudes and then just moving on. I mean, Sam Burns is out to 30-1 in this week field. Burns went 75-65-74 like on the first 3 days of the Memorial this past week. So he literally shot 65 on Friday only to come back and shoot 74 again on Saturday. So I mean, he's as crazy as they come.
Man, so Thigala's all the way down to 80-1 too now. Wow. So this is what we're talking about, going back to your Scottie Scheffler ran a little bit. But we've seen a lot of the mid-range guys you can't really trust, and some guys that were in the mid-range, like the Homas and the Thigalas and stuff, have just fallen off the face of the planet. You can't back them with money right now.
Unbelievable. The rant. Called it a rant yet again, Kelly. I expect better from you. When we come back from the West Wing of whatever mansion that he is at across this country of ours, we're going to have Ben Wilson in with us.